Donc ça, c'est les 5 organisations. So give me the opportunity to speak at this workshop. So I have to speak. So I think I sent only to let my abstract. So I start with it. Okay. So what I would like to speak is how we can relate the politic analysis of the Conroy complex on a CR manifold to the differential geometric data of this manifold by making use of non-cumulative geometry. Okay. So first, I would like to explain, to recall, or explain what is a CR manifold. So CR stands for Cauchy-Riemann, and basically, so it's given by a sub-bundle of the complexified of the tangent bundle, which has rank n and is integrable and satisfied this extra condition. Okay. Equivalently, this bundle H has the structure of a complex vector bundle of rank n. And the main example of a CR manifold is the boundary of a complex domain. Okay. Such data, we can associate horizontal D-bar complex. This was done by Cohn Rossi. Okay, so we have a bundle of complex forms, okay, of horizontal complex form, lambda pq, and we construct the tangential horizontal D-bar operator, which is called D-bar B, okay, by composing the exterior differential by the projection on the form of degree, B degree PQ plus 1, okay. So when we apply, so when we apply this to a form of degree PQ, B degree PQ, so we get a complex, okay, and the corresponding Laplacian is called the Cohn Laplacian. An important fact here is that the Cohn Laplacian is not elliptic, okay, because the differentiation to transverse direction is missing. But it can be apolliptic in some value, for some value of q, but not all. So in particular, when you have the YQ condition, the box B is apolliptic. Okay, now we can get differential geometric structure. So if we pick up a non-vanishing real one form, theta, so that the corresponding Lebesgue form on T1, 0, So given a non-vanishing one form, we can define, can form the Lebesgue form, L theta, so like as above. And we say that it is strictly convex. One can choose theta in such a way that L theta is positively definite. And the choice of such a form is called a pseudo-Hermitian structure. So, in fact, pseudo-Hermitian structure, we only need to, so I define them only in the strictly pseudo-convex case. But in fact, we can also have them when the Lebesgue form is non-degenerate, okay? And when we have a two-dimensional structure, we get the canonical connection, so-called Tanaka-Wolstea connection, which preserves the CR structure. And one fact about it is that, so it's not the Lebesgue-Civita connection, and in particular, it's not torsion-free. Okay. So, an open question, which we can relate to Fesserman's program, is how much can we relate the hypolytic analysis of the D-bar B complex to the pseudo-Hermitian geometric data. So initially, as I wrote in the abstract, Fesserman program was launched for conjecture about the Zego kernel. So Zego kernel, this is the kernel of the box, the projection onto the orthogonal projection onto the kernel of the box B on function. And the conjecture was to relate the asymptotic of this Zégaud kernel in terms of in terms of the Kerr-Webster connection, more or less. So mostly the idea of Fermat, it was in the 70s, was to use invariant theory as the proof of Kittke and Chabot-Pattudi of the local index theorem. Okay. And in particular, in this case, the invariant theory is very difficult. And what I would like to explain is how we can do something to the direction using non-commutative geometry. And also the Heisenberg calculus of P.S. Freinau. So, okay, so the plan of the talk is to show how we can use can apply the framework of non-commutative geometry, and in particular, we like to construct a non-commutative residue. So to do this, we need a absolute differential calculus. And to construct complex powers and a functional calculus within this calculus. Okay. So first, in this context, the relevant differential calculus is the Heisenberg calculus of Bisgrainer and Taylor. Okay. So I'll first recall the Ben fact about it. Then I will explain how we can do a functional calculus. Then I will explain a non-commutative residue, and I will go to application in non-commutative geometry. Okay. So the general setting, the Heisenberg calculus holds in a general setting of Heisenberg manifold. So Heisenberg manifold is just a manifold together with a distinguished hyperplane bundle of the tangent bundle. So this includes Fullerton, which was already dealt with by Cohen-Moscovici in their work on the transverse index formula. But this also includes contact manifolds and confolation. So confolation interpolates between foliation, or in some sense, between foliation and contact manifold. Okay. So we can define to the Heisenberg manifold, we can define a tangent group real. So first thing is following lemma that we have a canonical. So we have an intrinsic Lévy form. So from with value in the normal bundle Tm over H. And using this Lévy form, we can construct a tangent Lie group bundle, Gm, by this formula. So it means there's a gradient, and we have the product is given by this. So in fact, what happens is that starting from the Lévy form, we can define a structure of Lie algebra on Tm over H plus H, okay? And we take the exponential map to be the identity and use the Campbell-Hausdorff formula and use the fact that we have something tunipotent to get this formula. Okay. Okay. So, proposition. So, the fiber of GM always contain I always have a form some Heisenberg group times an abelian group, so R d to V to L. So and the dimension of the Heisenberg group depends on the rank of the Lévy form. So this is why you can use the terminology Heisenberg manifold. And what's something which is important here is that the previous description of GXM coincide with that in terms of nilpotent approximation of vector fields at x via use of Heisenberg coordinates. So Heisenberg coordinates refine so we have a notion of privileged coordinates, and we can refine some of them to recover a previous description of GM. So what I mean is that so GM x of m was defined only locally at near a point in a chart, okay, using nilpotent approximation of vector fields. And if you use a good notion of Heisenberg coordinates, we We have a strict distribution using the distribution above. Okay? And the fact is that, in fact, we get a differential Vaupoil. We show that m times m can be smoothly deformed to gm. Okay? By this, I mean that this Vaupoil is differentiable Vaupoil. So there is also an alternative description of this by Eric Van Erp, which will. Which may speak about it tomorrow. Okay. Now let's speak about Heisenberg calculus. So the general idea is to construct a class of pseudo-differential operators, which are modeled on homogeneous, less invariant pseudo-differential operators on the fiber of a GM. Okay. So it means that at each point, we can associate a model operator, which is absolute an operator on GX of M. So why it's important to do this? Because in fact, locally, the PCHDOs are absolute differential operator of type 1/2, so it's a class of Romander. But this operator of type 1/2, they don't have a full symbolic calculus. And they don't make sense globally on in any Heisenberg manifold. So the idea of approximating, of using tangent, nilpotentially groups, goes back to Stein, and was used by many other people. So I give you a description of the operator. So we start with a chart which has a frame x0, x1, xd, so that x1. XD are in H. We define so we let sigma j be the symbol of 1 over I XJ. Okay, so sigma is a multivalued symbol of sigma 0, sigma D. Okay, and Heisenberg symbol will have an asymptotic expansion of this kind where we have a special homogeneity, okay, where the variable x0 as degree 2. Okay. And a PCHDO for the M is locally of this form. So it corresponds to the quantification px negative I x divided by this formula of Heisenberg symbol of degree M modulo smoothing operator. So it means that we have a notation means that we have a function of x, which is the frame. Mm-hmm. So we can define a notion of principal symbol in this case, which is G star M. This is a dual of the Lie algebra bundle of GM. Okay, so linear dual and. The principal symbol can make sense globally as an element, so as a homogeneous function of the degree M on this on the total space of this bundle. Okay. And we can define a model operator as the left, well, this I made a typo, as the left convolution operator by the inverse Fourier transform of PMX. Okay. Not, I forgot the Cech. And proposition, so in this context, we have a well-defined product for symbols, which correspond to the left convolution on GX of M is the product for symbols. Okay. So here, it's really the inverse Fourier transform, so it's not the convolution, it's the convolution in Fourier covariable. Voilà. So, and important fact. So the result is mostly due to Bitfinder, but Bitfinder they have a principal symbol only locally, and what I get is something which is global. And so we can do this statement. So the product. So if you have two PCHDOs, okay. Then the principal symbol of the product is equal to the product of the principal symbols. And in particular, the modal operator of the product is equal to the product of the modal operator. So here, either I assume M compact or one of them properly supported. And then we get this statement. So here, RP is in a small because it's mostly due to bit climber. But I wanted to, okay. True, okay. So, and, okay. And so as a consequence of the Heisenberg calculus, principal, the entirety of the principal symbol is a test for having a parametrics for an operator, for the PHDO. And if you have a parametrics or the principal symbol is an invertible, then the operator is apolytic with loss of M over 2 derivative if M is the order of the operator. So it's something, okay. So this would have been an apolytic estimate if it was M. Bon. Okay. So sometimes it's difficult to check whether the symbol is invertible or not. And for this, we can rely on what's called the Rockland condition. So in terms of the representation of the tangent Lie group at a point. In fact, it's another way of defining the symbol. So so at a point X, for any non-trivial inferior representation of Gx of M, we can associate an unbounded operator by Px on HP, whose domain contains the C-infinity, for the smooth vector of the representation. So here, the representation are simple because they are representation of the group. Okay, so it must be HP is L2 and C-infinity is Schwarz space. Okay, and Rockland condition is at X, is that P pi of Px is injective on C infinity of P for any pi. Okay. And one result we can prove is that if the uniform has constant rank and the login the Rockland condition is satisfied by both P and P transpose, then the principal symbol is invertible. Okay. So in particular, so this holds for the Riemann contact Laplacian, which is an operator on a contact manifold. Okay, so now I step towards constructing complex powers. We need to define holomorphic families of PHDOs. So essentially, it means that so holomorphic families, okay, is given by holomorphic by quantification of holomorphic families of symbols plus holomorphic families of smoothing operators. So smoothing operators are given by smooth kernel. So holomorphic family of smoothing operators means that RZ is given by holomorphic families of smooth kernel. And holomorphic family of smooth symbols means that the order is analytic. QZ, so as function is holomorphic, as family of function is holomorphic. And the bounds of the asymptotic expansion of in terms of symbols are locally uniform with respect to Z. Okay, so now we go to functional calculus. Okay. Okay, so the problem when you do this, so when we define the complex powers, so for so in the classical method of Philae, we use a resolvent expansion. And we use a ray L theta. Okay. Okay. So and we use a contour. interaction contour, which is like this. Okay. So it goes along a ray and circles around the origin, and then go back along the same ray. Okay. So the problem is that here we have to circle the origin. And why it fits well with the classical absolute differential operator? It doesn't fit well with PHDOs, because the PHDOs are not micro-local. So for this, we have to use another approach. In fact, I use two other approaches. So, in fact, one is especially quick, is that we choose the PHDO representation of the Higgs kernel. Okay, so it works well for a differential operator. So here, let us consider a differential operator of Ehrenhausenberg order V, which is positive, and has an invertible principal symbol. So in particular, P is apolytic. Okay. And the Higgs semigroup is well defined, and for T positive, we get a smoothing operator. On the other hand, as it is well known, the Higgs semigroup allows us to invert the Higgs equation. So it's more precisely, we can write down an inverse using this. So I'm a bit sloppy with. In fact, here we match to a better space. Okay, but as we prove that in fact Q0 is absolute differential operator, it doesn't really matter here. Okay. So we have this formula, so look at it well. Because it implies two terms, it implies that that Q0 has the Volterra property, that is distribution kernel, you have the form KQ0 of XY T minus S, I mean you have translation invariance with respect to time, and KQ0 vanish for T negative. So it means that you have a causal invariance. And in fact, KQ0 here in this case is given by the heat kernel, okay, for T positive. Okay, so it follows from the previous formula. Yeah. So why don't it formula in terms of kernel? And we end up with. And that we decide that the kernel of Q is a form like this, with Q0 given by Kt, for T positive. Okay. And if you like, so this means that the kernel, the Higgs kernel, is given by the kernel of the inverse of an operator. Okay. So it motivates building a absolute differential calculus, taking it to account the Volterra property in order to study the Higgs kernel of P. Okay. So we use the differential calculus, but we use a special differential calculus which takes into account the Volterra property with respect to the time variable. So this was okay. So in the Higgs case, this was done by Reiner using absolute differential calculus, which was developed independently by KU, and I used the Volterra calculus to give an improve of the local index formula of Alcyon-Singer, which allows us to compute for free the CM cos-Moskowitz cos cycle. So in particular, it's relevant to use this approach if you want to use at some point the CM cos cycle. I mean, okay. So here we use the Volterra PHDO calculus, which was developed by Bill Kreiner Stanton for deriving the Higgs kernel synthetics for the cone Laplacian. So so here we quantify the symbols. So there is an extra time covariable here, which has homogeneity in V, and which emits an analytic extension on the plane M of T. Negative. So here you see. Okay. And Volterra PHDO are given by a quantization of this form. Okay. So here it's small q. Okay. So x negative I capital X. So as for Volterra for a regular Heisenberg solid force operator plus, and here we take into account the dt. Okay, and what's important here is that if a principal symbol of the heat operator p plus del t is invertible, so it means invertible the setting of Volterra-Heisenberg symbols, then the inverse of the heat operator is a Volterra plus HDO of order negative E, and we can derive a heat kernel asymptotic. So in fact, this asymptotic is true for Volterra CHDO, and when you apply it to the inverse of the heat operator, we get, using the relation between the heat operator, okay, it's before, okay, using the relationship between the inverse of the heat operator and the heat kernel, we get the heat kernel asymptotics. Okay. That's right. Okay. Now, I can construct complex powers as follows. So P is self-adjoint positive. So we can define its complex powers by standard L2 functional calculus. Okay. And now we have the main formula. So the first line above. Okay. Combining this formula with the PHGO profession of the kernel, we can easily get that following theorem, following the result. So if the principal symbol of P plus delta is invertible, then the complex powers of P form a holomorphic family of CHDOs. Okay. So this result is true for the co-Laplacian under Y2 condition. So Y2 condition, I didn't mention it. So when you have a strictly pseudo-convex manifold, CR manifold, it means that YQ has to be different from 0 and n, the maximal, n where the manifold has dimension 2n plus 1. Okay, so this approach has also been used by Melrose, Singer, and Barkes in the context of PHGO on the Zayama bundle. On the other hand, if you combine the previous result with some result of Wallenstein, we can find more operators such that the heat operator has an invertible symbol, more precisely, if the Levy form has constant rank and P satisfies the Crookland condition at every point, then the principal symbol of P plus delta is invertible, and so the previous result holds for P. So, in particular, in this case, sorry? No. It's not the Levy form. It's the Levy form. Okay.
My question is that power of psi only implies that it's a multiple of the identity
of the time. Okay. So I'm speaking about this Levy form here. So I mean that the structure of we have in fact tangently group is always of this formula. Okay. So now the result of Wallenstein is that it's true for any nilpotently group, homogeneous, nilpotent gradiently group. So when you have it's for So the result for Einstein is that if you have a positive a positive differential operator, which satisfies the Crookland condition on G, P plus delta satisfies also the Crookland condition, and we have fundamental solution which has the Volterra property. Okay. So that way we get invertibility of the principal symbol at a point, and then if you use the result of even when the DB form has constant rank, in fact, you can use result of Christ and all to show that the inverse of principal symbol depends smoothly on the base point. But I think actually, I think it also even when the DB form has not constant rank. But I mean, I didn't want to go into the details of it. Okay. So in fact, I only have 40 slides, so I think I'm on time. So another approach is using a resolvent approach. So it's close to CLA, but not quite close. Because of this lemma. So first we can define theta p to be the cone which is the complement and C0 of the union set of the spectra of the model operator px. Okay. So it means that if lambda is in theta of p, So then Pm minus lambda is invertible. So maybe I should say this way. Is that Px minus lambda is invertible. And the following lemma is following. So if you consider a ray which is contained in the cone theta of p, then exists an open cone containing L. Sorry, what's here? So consider a ray like this. Okay, and then there exists an open cone like this. Theta, okay. And the JAT for union R. So, and we set lambda as union of theta and the disk of radius R about the origin, minus the origin. Okay. Then there exists a symbol Q lambda, okay, so which is, so here, so it's moved with respect to Q lambda, depend on X and C, so it's moved with respect to X and C, and it's all at negative 1 lambda, with respect to lambda, so it means that it's decay as big O of lambda, modulus of lambda to the negative 1, as lambda goes to infinity inside any closed subset, any closed subcone of theta. Okay, so it's not uniform in all theta, it's uniform on any closed subcone of theta. Okay. So such that modulo S minus infinity all of negative infinity, so all of negative infinity means that infinity decay. Q lambda is an inverse of Pm minus lambda, okay. And second, Q of lambda is almost homogeneous of degree negative V, okay. This means that it satisfies this almost homogeneous condition, okay. So it means it's homogeneous modulo S negative infinity, all negative infinity. Okay. In fact, this lemma is fresh from this week because I use a less precise result before. So now we define a set of CHGO's parameter as operator given by a symbol with an asymptotic explanation in terms of homogeneous symbols. It means that terms of symbols satisfying this kind of condition. Okay, now, so here is theta fetch. Right? Actually, it's not, no, it's brief. I don't know what it is in motion. Okay. So by removing all the rays which are contained in the spectrum of all the rays from theta of p which contain an eigenvalue of p, okay, and we define lambda p to be theta sheche of p, theta brief of p, union b of 0 arc 0 minus 0, where, okay, so here there is typo. So arc 0 is the distance from 0 to the from distance from the origin to the eigenvalue of p with the lowest modulus. Okay. And theorem is that theta brief of p is an open cone, and for any cross cone contained in it, so there is a typo here, it's brief here. Any cross cone contains at most finitely many eigenvalues of p, and thirdly, the resolvent is a parametric PSGOs with parameter set lambda of p. Okay, so example of computation. So when self-adjoint theta of p is contained is a complement of the real line, so it follows from definition. When you have self-adjoint sublapachian and sum of square, then in fact theta of p is complement of the positive real axis, and if you use the theorem here, this implies, if you use this, okay, this implies that any such operator is bounded from below. And when you have a real sublapachian, in fact, theta p. So here I assume the manifold to be compact. Theta p will be like this. Okay. So it will strictly contain the left half plane. So in particular, for any real sublapachian, we'll have. We'll define, we'll have a well-defined its semigroup. Okay, so here we assume the Lie form is zero, and when the Lie form is zero, for instance, when you take the Lie operator, delta plus delta, where here it's a regular Laplacian, okay, the spectrum is like this, it's contained like this. Okay. So why, when the Lie form is never vanishes, spectrum has a part, is mostly contained here with a finite number of eigenvalues. Okay. So, so far so good. Now we can define the complex power as in filet approach, in fact, because we have constructed a class of solution operator with parameter nesting the resolvent. So in fact, it's even different from Sillard approach here, because in Sillard approach, we rather have an asymptotic resolvent, and the resolvent is not quite in the algebra, or in the class of operators with parameters. So we define complex power as follows. So gamma theta is like this. Right over there. Okay, so it's array, so it goes like this along the array, then turns crosswise along the origin, and then it goes back to infinity along the same way. And here is I forgot a negative one in front of the integral. Okay, so and that way we get a holomorphic family of CHDOs, which in fact is a one parameter group. Okay. So here I don't assume P to be invertible. In this case, we get a partial inverse, which is obtained as the operator, which is zero on E0P with characteristic space, okay, and is equal to the inverse of which inverse P on the orthogonal of the zero characteristic space of P star. Okay, so we have complex powers. Now, let us define a non-primitive residue. So which is the last step towards using non-primitive geometry. So here, consider a compact Heisenberg manifold of dimension d plus 1. And the first fact is that we have a logarithmic for any CHDOs of integral order as a logarithmic singularity near the diagonal, and the coefficient of this logarithmic singularity makes sense globally as a density on M. So here, of course, when M is less than negative d plus 2, okay, we don't have any, all these terms are zero, and we don't have any logarithmic singularity. Okay. So the way I construct the non-primitive residue trace is by starting from analytic extension of the trace, okay, and by then obtaining the non-primitive residue trace as the residual trace of this analytic extension. So in the Heisenberg case, so here M has dimension d plus 1, and in this context, the critical dimension below which an operator CHDO is traceable is dimension of M plus 1. Okay. Which here is D plus 2. So it's because the transverse the PHGOs, transverse direction has a break 2, and somehow this adds to the dimension. Okay. So that critical dimension is rather dimension of M plus 1. So, okay. So, when the order of P is less than negative D plus 2, so in fact, above it reverses the real part of the order. P is trace. Actually, it's trace class in English. The trace is given by the integral of the density KP XX. Okay, and first result is that by working very clear the level of density, we can extend the map P maps to KP of XX analytically to the class of CHDOs of non-integral order. Okay. Ah, yeah, should I mention what I mean by holomorphic jauge? So, holomorphic jauge. So, terminology goes back to Gudmin. It means that for P, it means that ord of PV is equal to Z plus ord of P. Okay, and P0 is equal to P. So, if you have any holomorphic jauge for P, then TP Z of X, so TP, this is an analytic extension of the map KP, okay. Then KP Z of X has at most a simple pole singularity near Z equal to 0, which is equal to negative the density CP of X, okay, which is given by the logarithmic coefficient of the logarithmic singularity of the canal of P near the diagonal, okay. So CP of X, it was from the previous line, is given by this. Okay. Now, can define two functionals. So here, I again made a typo. So in fact, should be not T small, capital T small r, but capital T capital R, like here. Okay. So integral of Cp of x, and we also define rest p of x as the integral of Cp of x. The first one is defined on CSGO of non-integer order, and the second one is defined on CSGO of integer order. And from the previous result, okay, from previous theorem, we immediately get the following result. Functional TR is the unique identity continuation, so here it's of the trace, so it's T small r P, okay, to TH C minus Z of M. So it has a trace threshold property like this. Okay, so if you take commutator of P1 and P2, so that the product P1 P2 have not integer order, then TR of P1 of commutator of P1 P2 is 0. Okay. And if PZ is a holomorphic jauge for P, then TR of PZ has at most simple positive singularity near Z equals 0, which is given by negative, with residue at 0, is given by negative rest of P. Okay. So we define now the non-creative residue as the functional rest. Okay. So the non-creative residue so was first defined by Wojcicki and Gunmin. Important problem for non-creative residue was to prove that it is a trace and it is local. Okay. So here, by working directly at the level of density, we get a local functional. Okay. And as it is obtained by residual functional from analytic extension of the trace, we immediately get a threshold property. So in fact, the analytic extension of the trace was already implicit in the work of Gunmin and Wojcicki. And but at the local level, it was made more explicit by conservation Bishik. Okay. And I use a similar approach in the Heisenberg case. And in particular, we reverse the usual definition of the non-creative residue. Is that so if Q has so if Q is an analytic of CHDO, so with a cut L theta, so which means a cut like here, okay. So if Q is the principal is a CHDO with complex powers, then of Q times rise of P is equal to the residue at Z equals 0 of the zeta function TR of P Q to the negative 0. And the result, which is true for the non-creative residue of the Gunmin for classical absolute differential operator, is that when M is connected, S is the unique trace on the algebra of CHDOs of integer order up to constant multiple. Okay. Okay, so one thing, before going to index formula, one thing you can do is to define the area of a CR manifold. So I mean, here, let's say the area of a CR, well, in fact, here we have a problem when you define area, because CR manifold has odd dimension. So here we define area of manifold of dimension 3. So let's make use of the quantized calculus of Cohen. So we have a dictionary between classical infinitesimal notion, like complex variable, real variable, infinitesimal variable, into operator theoretic terms. Okay. So in particular, infinitesimal correspond to compact. Infinitesimal of order alpha correspond to compact operator such that the characteristic values, that is, the eigenvalues of absolute value of modulus of t have some decay, like k to the negative alpha for t having order alpha. And in this context, the integral is given by the Dix matrix. So Dix matrix is defined like this. So essentially, So if T has order 1, if T is positive, and when you take the partial sum of the eigenvalue of T, which in this case are given k, and if you divide, and if they are like L times log of N, then the Dixmier trace of T is equal to S. Okay. So when you have an operator of order 1, this term is always bounded, and the Dixmier trace is a way to extract a convergence. Enfin, the sequence as big N varies is bounded, and the Dixmier trace is a way to extract a sequence. Okay. So essentially, there are various ways of doing it, and operator will be measurable for the Dixmier trace if there is, the result is always the same. Okay. But in the case of CSGOs, we don't have to worry about the definition of the Dixmier trace here because you have following result. So if you have CSGOs of M of negative order or negative M, then P is an infinitesimal operator of order M over dimension of M plus 1. And in the critical case, so if order P, or the order of P is negative dimension of M plus 1, then the Dixmier trace of P is equal to 1 over dimension of M plus 1 times the residue of P, nucleative residue of P. So as a consequence, we can integrate any CSGOs, even so it is not an infinitesimal of order less than or equal to 1, by letting Dixmier trace of P equals 1 over dimension of M plus 1 times residue of P. Okay. Now let's go to a way of CR manifold. So I consider I haven't defined delta B. So I consider absolute Hermitian manifold and delta B here. So it's defined as the box as the box B, except that here so you have M theta and you have CR structure. Okay, so CR structure means that this bundle has a complex a structure of complex vector bundle, and essentially we define DB. So it's similar way as D bar B. So we go from D. So we go to one form. One star of M, and then we project onto H star. Okay. So this is DB. Okay, and so yeah. Here, we don't have a complex, okay? Nevertheless, we can define delta B to be DB star plus DB star DB. Okay? And this plays the role of real Laplacian in pseudo-Hermitian geometry, okay? And so when you have a strictly pseudo-convex manifold, a box B is not apolytic, has not a principal, invertible principal symbol, okay? However, delta B does. Okay. So that's why delta B is used here. Okay, so what happens is that in fact, so we can relate the non-creative residues to the coefficient of the Hilkert symmetric of delta B, okay? So coefficient, the first two coefficients have been determined by Bill Skriner-Stanton. And as a consequence, when you take delta B to the negative n plus 1, then its non-cumulative residue allows to recover the contact volume. So it means theta n watch theta. Okay. Okay, so in this formula, we see that the square root of delta B recaptures the contact volume. Okay, so here, we saw here that the critical dimension is dm plus 1. So here, dimension of m is 2n plus 1. So we have dm plus 1 is 2n plus 2, which is 2 times n plus 1. Okay. So delta B, so if you take I don't know what I'm okay. No, okay. So okay. So delta S equals square root of B. So this has order 1, okay. 1 over 2n plus 2. Okay. And when you raise this to the power 2n plus 2, you get delta B to negative n plus 1, which has order 1. In terms of infinitesimal operator, that means in terms of this. Okay. Like this. And so the result. So in particular, we can define a VRR as the Dixmitrat or the non-primitive integral of ds squared. And when the dimension of m is equal to 3, we recover the non-primitive over R, okay, is given by the integral of the Tanaka Oster scalar curvature. So it's a CR analog of result of Kohn. In Riemann case, it was for four-dimensional manifold. It was possible to so the non-primitive area of four-dimensional manifold is given by the integral of the Riemann scalar curvature. Okay. Now we can go to local index formula. I think maybe I don't need to recall the framework for CM cosine. So it's the context of events called triple. So even spectral triple are given by this. Okay. So we have a well-defined index map, and under some extra condition, so well, namely P summability, smoothness, and finite and simple dimension spectrum, then we can define a non-primitive residue trace in the context of spectral triple. So I think that Nigel spoke about smoothness condition also. Okay, so that the CM cocycle is well defined. So it's cocycle in the BB by complex, BB by complex. Okay, and by this formula, and it allows us to compute the freedom index description K theory by pairing with the K theory. By pairing the CM cocycle with the K theory, with K zero. Okay. Now we can apply this. The following setting. So consider compact as an Hilbert manifold, self-adjoint first order PCHDO, D, acting on Z2 graded bundle, so with scaling gamma, D anti-commute with gamma, and we assume that the principal symbol is contained in the commutant of subalgebra of integer principal homogeneous symbols, okay, containing a principal symbol of generated by iterated commutator of dA with d squared, okay, and iterated commutator of A with d squared, where A varies in C infinity of M. Okay. So it's just the translation of the smoothness condition as written before in terms of, mostly translation in terms of symbols. And I think it solves when D square is a sublattachian and D commutes with a most complex structure. Okay. So when you have CR manifold, it means that D commutes with the complex structure of H, which is the case in the D bar with the D bar B. And under this condition, spectral triple has simple dimension spectrum, okay, and the algebra C0 of D is contained in the algebra of CH0 of order less than or equal to 0, okay. On the other hand, the next map has geometric realization as follows, okay. And so we can apply the result of Cohn-Moscovici, but here we have we are dealing with a manifold. So CM cocycle, cyclic cocycle correspond to Durand courant, okay. And the pairing with K3 is given by pairing with the Chern character in cohomology. So these are exactly the formula for CM cocycle. So here I cheated a little bit because here we have to anti-symmetrize here, okay. Okay, so a priori, okay, we have index formula given by the pairing with the total channel form of the curvature of E. Okay. And I think I can construct an example for which it holds as follows. So it's for a three-dimensional solimation manifold. So in this case, the box B operator is hyperelliptic in no B degree. Okay. Nevertheless, we can construct a hyperelliptic operator as follows. So we assume existence of a real structure, which corresponds to have an linear involution on T10. So essentially, it means that T10, remember, in the case of remember some real structure. Okay. So let's define a Hodge operator, which gives us a Z2 coding, okay. And then if you define QB as follows, okay. So it's almost the, if you look at the first part, it's almost box B, except that instead of having D bar B star, D bar B plus D bar B, D bar B star, we have D bar B star, D bar B minus D bar B, D bar B star, okay. And in order to have something which anticommutes with gamma, we remove the conjugation by the gamma. And the result is that in this case, on each lambda pq, the operator qb is a sublattachian with an up to sign factor with an invertible principal symbol, and the previous assumptions are satisfied by operator db given by this equation. Okay. So it means that in this case, the theorem here holds for db. Okay. And it's still an ongoing project to compute the current TD in the case of DB, and meanwhile to extend operator DB to higher dimensional CR manifold. Okay. Yes, yes, stop.